Solomon's Downfall and Its Cause, Ellen G. White. In the days of King Josiah, a strange appearance could be seen opposite the temple of God. Crowning the eminence of the Mount of Olives, peering above the groves of myrtle and olive trees, were unseemly, gigantic idols. Josiah gave commandment that these idols should be destroyed. This was done, and the broken fragments rolled down the channel of the Kedron. The shrines were left a mass of ruins. But the question was asked by many a devout worshiper: how came that architecture on the opposite side of the Jehoshaphat ravine, thus impiously confronting the temple of God? The truthful answer must be made. The builder was Solomon, the greatest king that ever wielded a scepter. These idols bore testimony that he who had been honored and applauded as the wisest among kings became a humiliating wreck. He was thrice called the beloved of God. Pure and elevated in character, his piety and wisdom were unexampled. But Solomon did not go on from strength to strength in the pure and true life. His ambition was to exceed other nations in grandeur. To do this, he allied himself by marriage with heathen nations, and in the place of keeping loyal to the true and living God, he allowed his wives to draw him away from God. To please them, he built altars where they might worship their idols. Thus, the leaven of idolatry became mingled with Solomon's religious principles. Tares were sown among the wheat. Solomon knew that God had chosen Israel and made them the depository of the true and sacred faith. God had erected a wise barrier between them and the rest of the world, and only by jealously guarding the ancient landmarks could they preserve their high and distinct character. Why then did Solomon become such a moral wreck? He did not act on correct principles. He cultivated alliances with pagan kingdoms. He procured the gold of Ophir and the silver of Tarshish, but at what a cost! Solomon mingled error with truth and betrayed sacred trusts. The insidious evils of paganism corrupted his religion. One wrong step taken led to step after step of political alliance. The polygamy so common in that time was directly opposed to the law of Jehovah. But this evil was introduced into Palestine, and the Israel of God mingled in marriage with Phoenicia, Egypt, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, nations which bowed at idolatrous shrines, practicing licentious and cruel rites, greatly dishonoring to God. These Solomon countenanced and sustained. His once noble character, bold and true for God and righteousness, became deteriorated. His profligate expenditure for selfish indulgence made him the instrument of Satan's devices. His conscience became hardened. His conduct as a judge changed from equity and righteousness to tyranny and oppression. He who had offered the dedicatory prayer when the temple was consecrated to God, who prayed for the people that their hearts might be undividedly given to the Lord, was now following a train of circumstances entirely contrary to right. The life which was once wholly dedicated to God had been given to the enemy. Solomon tried to incorporate light with darkness, Christ with Belial, purity with impurity. But in the place of converting the heathen to the truth, pagan sentiments incorporated themselves with his religion. He became an apostate. God was no longer to him the only true and living God, a ruling providence. He was a religious wreck. In the days of Christ, the ruins of the groves erected by Solomon for his wives might still be seen. This place was named the Mount of Offense by all the true-hearted in Israel. Solomon little thought that those idol shrines would outlive his reign, even till Shiloh came and looked upon the melancholy sight. This case is left on record for all the religious world. Let those who know the word of the living God beware of cherishing the errors of the world. These Satan presents in an attractive style, for he would deceive us and destroy the simplicity of our faith. If these errors are introduced, they will mar the precious landmarks of truth. God has given men and women talents. None of these gifts are to be perverted to Satan's service. We need to guard jealously the simplicity of our faith. Let none who know the truth employ their mental faculties in a cheap line of business. Thus they prostitute their powers, which are gifts from the Heavenly Father, and bring on spiritual weakness and inefficiency. We cannot with safety tamper with the leaven of false, dishonoring doctrines. Think of Solomon's history and do not tamper with truth. Do not introduce the leaven of error as legitimate work.
The safeguards of our peace are to be preserved by watchfulness and much prayer. Great care is to be shown in the choice of associates, lest instead of leading them, we are led into evil and our souls imperiled. We must do nothing to lower the standard of our religious principles. Let there be a decided reformation. Let nothing be done to hurt the faith or mar the soul. Let our reward be the clean hands, the pure heart, the noble purpose. Mrs. E. G. White.